April 24th, 1964, Socorro, New Mexico. Officer Lonnie Zamora witnesses a craft of unknown origin, two humanoid-like figures beside it, and a mysterious insignia printed on the ship. With physical trace evidence left behind in the area, the U.S. Air Force would later try, but fail, to explain what happened. The case remains unexplained to this day. Now, the FBI just released new information to the Black Vault, which sheds not only some new light on the encounter, but more so, the UFO subject as a whole. Stay tuned. You're about to journey inside the Black Vault. That's right, everybody. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and making this your podcast or your YouTube live stream of choice. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, I really appreciate you guys subscribing to it and making sure you click on those thumbs up buttons because, yes, it does help a lot. I know I'm a broken record like that, but I'll give you your cost of admission back if you don't like the show. But those thumbs up really do help me. If you're listening on a podcast, reviews help as well. So please make sure that you log into your iTunes or Spotify, Google Play Store, however it is you are listening and downloading, because those reviews help me as well. So welcome to the show. Today we are talking about the Socorro UFO landing. And I've been wanting to do this for a couple weeks now to show you guys some documents that came in from the FBI. Not only are they interesting, not only do they add a little bit to the story of the Socorro landing, but more so it adds much more to the grander picture about UFOs, what we know, what we don't know, and what the government knows and doesn't know. And I'll get into some of that on why I say it that way in just a little bit. What I want to do is start with the background of what the Socorro landing is. Now, I know that a lot of people who log into this channel, you see a lot of UFO videos here, but some of you, in fact, I would even argue maybe the majority of you, don't watch the Black Vault just for UFO stuff. Obviously, I deal with all sorts of topics. So I like to give a little bit of background here to what it is I'm actually talking about. Now, the Socorro UFO landing is a pretty interesting case if you're not familiar with it. The reason is it goes all the way back to the 1960s and to this day, defies explanation. Now, what you're looking at on your screen, if you're watching on YouTube, is a photograph from the official files of Project Blue Book with the United States Air Force. They investigated this particular case, which involved a law enforcement officer by the name of Lonnie Zamora, and they determined that they couldn't figure it out. They did extensive investigation on it, and in the end, what this officer saw remains a mystery even to this day. As I was prepping for this show, the Socorro City website for New Mexico actually lists this UFO case on their website, talks about how it's unexplained. It's a very short synopsis, and they didn't quite recollect some of the facts correctly, at least not how the FBI files depict it or the Air Force files depict it. But regardless, it's interesting to see that the city embraces this as part of their history and part of their lineage. This here is Officer Lonnie Zamora. As I said, he was the main witness, or the witness, I should say, to the UFO encounter. And here's the story in a nutshell. There's a lot of different facets to this, but I want to just give you a quick synopsis of why this case is important. Now, as the story goes, at least according to the official files, Officer Lonnie Zamora was chasing a speeding car, and as he's going down the highway, sees a object or something with a flame coming out of it in the distance. Now, as the files say, they had recently had some dynamite explosions in the area, so he was worried that something was going on, something either nefarious, someone up to no good. Obviously, he wanted to go check it out. So the files say that he broke off the chase, and he started heading towards this flame that he was seeing. They say it when he noticed it was about 100 to 200 yards into the distance. Now, as Lonnie Zamora then approaches it in his squad car, he sees that there's an object that this flame is coming out of, describes it as aluminum, white in color. Here's an artist description, if you're watching on YouTube, of what Zamora was looking at. Egg-shaped, multiple legs coming out of it, and an insignia on the side. Now, Lonnie Zamora says that he sees this thing come down and either hover or land onto the ground. He notates, according to the files, he recollects these legs that are coming out of the object that essentially, again, either rest right above the ground or on the ground. And that's going to become key in a few moments. So as he's watching this thing, he then sees two bodies, two human-like figures come out, which he described as small adults or large children. So I guess maybe we can, you know, conclude somewhere around the 3-4 foot range ish. But because, again, there's varying descriptions of what they are. But the official transcription of what he had told the Department of Justice and the FBI, because they were involved in the investigation as well, was that it was a small adult or a large child. Sees these two figures. Says one was even startled by Zamora's presence and him watching this object and taking note of whatever these beings are that come out of the object. After a little bit, Zamora then recollects that the thing essentially takes off. The flame starts. And actually, before that happened, I missed where the bodies, whomever they were, the human-like figures he recollected, went back into the craft. The flame started, the thing comes up off the ground, and away it goes. Now, that's obviously the quick synopsis of what he saw. There's a lot of other facets to it and a lot of other details, and I'll show you in a moment the official documents and how detailed they really are. But this obviously, at some point, was very frightening to Zamora. During this, before this thing takes off, he hid. The files show that he was so scared after he got out of his squad car that he hid from it. And as this thing is going away and he watched it, one of the files says that he put his head into the ground and literally covered his head with his arms because he was afraid of what was going on. So that's the synopsis of what happened. Now, word travels about this, goes to the United States Air Force, because this was the 1960s. This was during the Project Blue Book era. This was something that the Air Force was obviously going to be very interested in for their investigation. They go out there. Here's an official photo with Zamora, and they start investigating the spot where this craft, whatever it was, came down. They discovered that those legs that Zamora saw, when I said that was a key point, they found impressions in the dirt. They found scorch marks of the vegetation that was there. So that flame that he saw truly did have a physical effect on the ground and to the foliage around. So this wasn't a figment of his imagination. It wasn't something that he just hallucinated. Whatever it was really there and was what really something that you couldn't deny as it physically changed the area that it was in. In the land of ufology, they call that trace evidence. My longtime dear friend, the late Ted Phillips, who was an amazing researcher and just an all-around awesome human being. I had known him for many, many years. Got to shoot with him on location when I was producing for History Channel. we took him out to not to Socorro, although we definitely dove into this in the show, but out to Warren, Minnesota with the Val Johnson case. That was another trace evidence. But really, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who was his mentor, and Ted Phillips, they were the ones that really pioneered the trace evidence field work. Looking at UFO cases and finding stuff just like the Socorro landing produced, physical evidence, which was rare in UFO land, but they aimed to find all of it. Ted Phillips started very young under Dr. J. Allen Hynek. As you may not know, that was the scientific consultant for Project Blue Book. And he also was a part of the Socorro landing and investigation of it. The Air Force tried, but they could not determine what this was. This, to this day, again, I'll say it again and again, remains a mystery. They couldn't figure it out. Really quickly, some of the skeptical explanations for this, I would think since the 1960s, would come to light by now. You're talking about more than 50 years ago that this took place. If this was a test of, let's say, a future NASA lander or something to that effect, in more than a half a century, you think that you would have that come to light. They tried it with Roswell, failed, if you ask me, failed miserably. But regardless, they at least attempted to say, okay, here is something that we put forth as the explanation. Here is why we feel this way. Here you go. Yet they never did that with Socorro. They can't, at least for what we know now, all the history that we can piece together, we just don't have an explanation for it. So it's believed that Dr. J. Allen Hynek, that scientific consultant I mentioned, this was the case that even though he started as a skeptic and records show that he kind of just dismissed all of the UFO cases in the beginning. Fast forward then through the years to when Socorro happened, then he goes out and investigates this and realizes, okay, I don't think everything is explainable. I don't think we can just accept some of these explanations that we're putting forward on this one. Many of them were explainable. There is no doubt in my mind, Dr. Hynek's mind at the time, or any UFO researcher that's looked at these Project Blue Book files, no doubts that the majority of these are explainable. Yet, in the pursuit of science, there were 12,618 sightings that were investigated. In the field of science, you only need one anomalous one to maintain interest in that scientific pursuit. I often liken it to the cure for cancer. If you do 12,618 tests of experimental drugs and only one or a small percentage, very small percentage, shows hope, do you go, it was just a small percentage, let's forget about it? No, of course not. You keep pursuing it. And I think that Dr. J. Allen Hynek knew that the Socorro landing was something that produced just that, a glimmer of hope that this was something well beyond our ability to explain. After Project Blue Book closed, Dr. Hynek went on to found the Center for UFO Studies. He maintained his interest in UFOs and essentially became a believer. So he was one that saw the evidence. And based on Socorro, it is believed that that is what started his turnaround, if not completed it. And here we are. So that's how important this particular case is. Now, on the FBI's website, switching gears just a little bit, they have on there what they call the Vault. That is an amazing name. I started mine many, many years prior to them. But hey, I take that as a compliment. What's the expression? Mimicry is the best form of flattery or something to that effect. I'm drawing a blank on the exact quote. But regardless, they started what they called the Vault. And in it, they did exactly what I was doing on the Black Vault for many, many years. They took their files, they put them online after they digitized them, and you can download various celebrities and crime figureheads, politicians, so on and so forth. You can download all that. Well, in there is also their UFO files, and they do have a fairly large stack of, you know, well over 1,000 pages of various material on UFOs. You can download 16 PDFs directly from the FBI if you'd like. I've had them online for many, many years. They've circulated for decades. It's something that the FBI says, oh, you're interested in UFOs? Here you go. And they give you all of this information. Well, I started a pursuit, I would say, two, three years ago to get a listing of what they call their pre-processed pages. And not just UFOs, but pre-processed under the Freedom of Information Act. I'm going to do a different video. It may even be on by the time you're seeing this, so definitely check the channel. But I'll go into more. I'll go into this more in depth. But under the Freedom of Information Act, when, let's say, the UFO files come out, when Adolf Hitler's FBI file came out, you know, fill in the blank, the FBI, I thought, would probably keep a list of that. I was right. I filed a FOIA request for that on a crapshoot that they would have it. A lot of times you do those crapshoots and, you know, you come up empty. Got lucky on this one. They did have a list. They released it. And on there was a listing of all of their pre-processed files. The pre-processed files are things you can request. They grab what they've already processed to kind of speed things up a little bit. And they give you the responsive records. For example, I want the FBI files on Adolf Hitler. A portion of it, if not all of it, is pre-processed already because there's been a lot of people that have requested it. They grab that. They send it to you. They say, if this doesn't satisfy your request, because there could be more, we're not sure, we didn't search, let us know and we'll keep searching. Now, 100% of the time, I tell them, keep searching. But that is a way for them to expedite processing requests. On that list were the UFO files. You know, we've known about them for decades, as I mentioned. But I started seeing other references to UFOs that were not the blanket bulk of their UFO files. That was one line. But another line, I found UFOs and the Socorro landing. And I thought, okay, well, that's interesting. Maybe these have been released before. That batch that you're looking at on screen that you can download does have files on Socorro. So I just assumed, hey, it's going to be a repeat of that material, but let's give it a shot. Again, it was another crapshoot. If you've learned one thing from me in regards to the FOIA, throw those dice in the crapshoot, because a lot of times you'll hit that number and you'll score. A lot of times you'll crap out, but other times you will nail it and get lucky. This was an example of getting lucky. So what I got back were the files on Socorro landing, some of which were released, but not all. What was also really interesting were many of the documents were less redacted. So that was another kind of interesting point. So I cross-referenced the online website. Number one, I couldn't find some of the records. But number two, they seemed to be less redacted. They were newer versions. They were cleaner. You could read them easier. So that was also a major score, was that these documents come out in a much cleaner format. What you're looking at on screen are some of those pages that was outlining exactly what happened on the April 24th, 1964 case in Socorro, New Mexico. This was an example of, I believe, one file that was not in their massive batch before. This was the FBI's determination on how credible Lonnie Zamora was. Reading the first line, a police officer described as sober, dependable, mature, and not known to engage in flights of fantasy reported seeing an unidentified flying object rise from the earth with a roar, emitting bluish and orange flames, and disappear over a distant mountain. When he reported his observations, representatives of the local law enforcement agency searched the scene and noted four small, irregularly shaped, smoldering areas and four regular depressed areas at the site. The unidentified flying object was described as oval-shaped, about 20 feet long, with a red insignia. There is no indication in the reference teletype that Air Force had been advised. Our policy is not to investigate, but assure that Air Force is cognizant. Military is investigating and Albuquerque office is maintaining liaison. I wasn't going to read that whole thing, but decided to just go ahead and do it for those listening on audio. So that was a note by the special agent in charge, or excuse me, from the director of the FBI to the special agent in charge in Albuquerque. And so the director of the FBI sent this memo with that note attached, describing how important this particular witness was. A seemingly kind of endorsement, I guess you could call it, that this was something that they needed to look into. Obviously, with that, they notified the Air Force. Blue Book was alerted. They went out, and the rest is history, like I already had gone over in the beginning. Here's also some records that I believe do have not been released before, or at least are not readily available. You can see now the detail that was in the typewritten reports in the FBI files. In addition to the detail, there were handwritten little, I guess you could call them sketches, to help the special agents understand what they were describing. So they drew out the craft. They drew out the insignia. And you can see on these pages how those were literally sketched into the typewritten document, which I thought was kind of interesting. Let me read one of the paragraphs here, just so you get a sense of the amount of detail in these pages, because this particular report goes on for quite a few different pages from the top of the incident to the bottom, from the beginning of the car chase that Lonnie Zamora was on to seeing the object to it taking off and disappearing over the hill. Here's a quote. As soon as, and forgive me, I'm reading this as it's written. It's a little kind of broken, but this is what it says. As soon as saw flame and heard roar, turned away, ran away from object, but did turn head several times towards object. Bumped leg on car, back fender area, car facing southwest. Glasses fell to ground, left them there, ran to north, car between him and object. I know that's broken, but what they're doing is painting the picture. And you can see how detailed, right down to Officer Zamora dropping his glasses, bumping his leg. That's the amount of detail to this case, which is why, again, Dr. J. Allen Hynek felt that it was so extraordinary, not only because of the physical evidence, but essentially the reputation of the witness himself. Here's another cool side note about Socorro, because now you've seen that the FBI files are, some of which are now newly released, or at least released again with less redactions. Those are in the show notes linked below. If you're listening, you can get to those show notes at theblackvault.com/show notes, and that will bounce you to all the different episodes. Just go ahead and find the one for Socorro and you'll get the link. The photo that you're looking at right now, if you're watching this, is a model that Project Blue Book created. Because it was such an important case, that was the lengths that they went to investigate, where they literally put this in a model form and put the squad car. You see Lonnie Zamora running away there, the craft in the distance, the two bodies standing by it. This was something very important to them, to go to this length, because many of the cases that Project Blue Book had, they didn't go to this length. It was just a interview the witness and it's a weather balloon. Go out and interview the witness and it was swamp gas. And you saw that time and time again. So this was something that was very serious. I want to give kind of a fun side story to where this photograph came from, because I think it is, in 24 years of doing the Black Vault, one of the coolest stories I think I've come across. I wrote about it in my book, which, shameless plug, is appearing right above my head here, Inside the Black Vault. I devoted a chapter to it because it's extraordinary. And the story is about a researcher by the name of Rob Mercer. And Rob is a boots on the ground kind of investigator. He goes out, he researches, he digs in. He's not the armchair type that sits behind a Twitter feed and you know, just fires away insults. He goes out there and does work. Now, I met Rob because I came across his story, which I was fascinated by, that he was searching Craigslist for miscellaneous UFO memorabilia. He's in the Ohio area, which is where Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is, which was the home of Project Blue Book, which I haven't mentioned. And he came across this advertisement on Craigslist. For $100, Project Blue Book UFO pictures documents. And the description, two large three-ring binders containing mostly 8x10 photos of supposed UFOs, 137 35mm slides of supposed UFOs and documents, 116mm movie filmed, Mark 6-9, March 67, and it goes on. So Rob sees this. I mean, talk about a gold mine to anybody who is interested in UFO history. I mean, I would have drooled to see this and forked out that $100 in a heartbeat. So Rob goes out there and meets the guy. Now on your screen here, this is who it was, Lieutenant Carmen Morano. Now, Carmen Morano was a former enlisted airman. He was part of the Project Blue Book staff, which at the time was this whopping staff that you see here, all of four people. This is Hector Quintanilla. Others pronounce it Quintanilla. I believe it's Quintanilla. And he was in charge at the time towards the later years of Project Blue Book. But Lieutenant Morano, when Blue Book closed in 69, they left their offices and kind of left all this stuff behind. Well, he wanted some souvenirs. He didn't take it. It was actually slated for the trash. And I know some of you cringed hearing that. It made me cringe when I heard it because you wonder how much went to the trash. But regardless, Lieutenant Morano said, I'm just going to take these home, have a souvenir. He was young, wanted something to stay home with, to take home with him. And there they stayed for decades. Ended up in a garage. Lieutenant Morano sold his house. What's fascinating to hear Rob tell the story, the files were found in a garage that was recently purchased. And it wasn't Lieutenant Morano's. When Rob bought the material, he asked, is there more? And I believe that they found it under some old lumber that was left in the garage. They put Rob in touch with Lieutenant Morano and they started chatting, kind of hit it off. And then Rob ended up getting quite a bit more that he had saved, that Lieutenant Morano had saved. He didn't realize that he left the last couple boxes in his previous garage. So Rob tracked him down, talked to him, scored the rest of it. And when I introduced myself to Rob, I offered to help out store all this information, which I have. And that also is in the links below. It's called From the Desks of Project Blue Book. And in there were a lot of documents, not, and I repeat, not in the official Project Blue Book files that are at the National Archives. We have cross-referenced. We've tried to find it. It is amazing material. But in it, to focus in back on Socorro, were the original photographs from the Socorro site. Now, many have seen the poor second, third, fourth, fifth generation photocopies, but these were the actual photos and prints that Rob had gotten. And you can see on your screen here, it's kind of hard to see in the black and white photos, but this here, your bottom right corner, you're seeing one of the indentations from the craft. You're seeing here the investigators in the field with the scorch marks. You're seeing here again the landing site with scorch marks and the depressions that were left in the dirt. Amazing. And I invite you, please download all of them because they're amazing pieces of UFO history that's very rarely seen. They are watermarked for Rob's safety. Don't get mad at Rob. I recommended he do that. I've worked in television long enough to know stuff like this gets stolen all the time and people would profit off of Rob's hard work. So you will see the watermark with Rob's name. I recommended he do that. So be mad at me if you're going to be mad at anybody. But he's an awesome guy. If you need an unwatermarked version of it, not for commercial reasons, my guess is he may help you out on that. And I'll link him in the bottom as well. So great stuff. In there as well, Dr. J. Allen Hynek. Original letters written about the Socorro case, signed, again, original signatures by Dr. J. Allen Hynek. All sorts of letters in there. Definitely download them. Here is one particular example. I wanted to show this particular one because it showed that Dr. J. Allen Hynek kind of in the beginning was a little bit skeptical over Socorro, but it was very quick that Dr. Hynek realized there was something to this. I'll read you what Dr. Hynek said in this particular letter. I quote, "There's also the opinion expressed in Socorro and expressed to me a number of times in the past by several people and also by La Paz," that would be Lincoln, Dr. Lincoln La Paz, "that I am merely a part of a super smokescreen, and so is Foreign Technology Division and Wright Field, and that the whole Project Blue Book is a grand cover-up for something the government does not want discussed. Best way to give a lie to this, of course, is to point out that if this were the case, the U.S. government should also have been responsible for the sightings in France, Brazil, Spain, and in England. Maybe the U.S. government has really gone global. On that happy thought, I conclude my report. Sincerely yours, J. Allen Hynek. P.S. I now have a slightly infected finger from the thorns on the bush that was originally charred. The bush drew blood when I attempted to get some soil samples. Undoubtedly, the finger will now wither away from radiation burns. Unfortunately, I do not have interplanetary Blue Cross coverage." So Dr. Hynek obviously had a little bit of a sense of humor and obviously was a little bit more skeptical about this kind of stuff at the time. Very quickly thereafter, though, changed. Here's a couple others which really gave an interesting insight into, you know, Dr. Hynek's work and his aim to revisit UFO cases. And this is not as very well known and is revealed in these letters. Here's one from 1967 on the left of your screen. "Dear Major Quintanilla, I recommend that the evaluation be changed from ionized plasma to unidentified, since there is nothing in the data to support a charged ice particle plasma. This was in regards to a report of a UFO sighting in April of 1967 in Burney, California." What this letter is starting to show is that Dr. Hynek knew that these explanations that were being put on UFOs weren't cutting it. Now, luckily, they never tried that with Socorro, as we've proven. But I wanted to kind of give a little bit of an insight here around this time frame. This was a couple years after Socorro, but how Dr. Hynek was saying, hey, these things need a closer look. Here's another one from Saigon, April of 1967. April 17th, by the way, happens to be my birthday. "Dear Major Quintanilla, as reported, this case is completely unidentified and much additional information is called for. It is inconceivable that military intelligence would not have looked further into this case. And therefore, I should like to request that any further information garnered in this case be forwarded to Project Blue Book." What is he saying here? They're not getting everything. So again, a couple years after Socorro, Hynek is going, hey, how could you guys not look into this stuff? There's real stuff here. The Air Force wanted to cover it up. Here was Hector Quintanilla, the colonel, lieutenant colonel, I should say, at the time. He was in charge of Project Blue Book through the end. In the latter years, there were other people in charge, but in the latter years, it was Quintanilla. And he wrote this in 1968 to Dr. J. Allen Hynek. He says, Quintanilla says to Hynek, "I've just read the electronic news article of September 30, 1968, with regards to the National Electronics Conference panel on UFOs. The article states that you and three other gentlemen will appraise the current status of UFOs and review the latest findings, including those of the Condon Committee. I wish to inform you that under no circumstances will you review the findings of the Condon Committee as an official Air Force consultant. The review of the findings of the Condon Committee will be undertaken by the National Academy of Sciences. Therefore, the Air Force is not going to involve itself with Dr. Condon's report until the National Academy releases the document to the Secretary of the Air Force and the general public. As your project monitor, I would appreciate it if you would refrain from identifying yourself as an Air Force consultant when participating in pseudo-scientific panels of this type." It's a rather interesting look at how Lieutenant Colonel Quintanilla was now viewing Dr. Hynek. Hynek was that go-to guy for the skeptical explanations for years prior. Now, after Socorro and in the years that follow, Hynek is going, how can you guys not look at this? Send over the information on that. We need to reopen this case because plasma doesn't cut it anymore. We need to take this seriously. Excuse me. Not COVID, I swear. Everybody's judging every cough now. So this was really kind of that inside look into how all that happened. But it also gives a very interesting look into what the government has and what they don't have. Now, why do I say it that way? When you look at those Project Blue Book documents, when I first contacted Rob and I saw what he had, which was astounding, I was very familiar with the Project Blue Book collection at the National Archives. And I started seeing some of these documents, realizing, wait a minute, this doesn't look right. Meaning it didn't look familiar. The wording by ranking Air Force officers and how they literally chastised lower ranking enlistment in the Air Force when they reported UFOs was mind-boggling. I knew that had never been out before. I will link those down as well, because I won't go into all of that just because there's so much to go into with that collection. But my point is that how much of this material is not in the major collection, in the main collection at the National Archives? The answer is a lot. And so that's why I wanted to contact Rob and go, look, man, you got a gold mine here. I am happy to help out if you decide to release it. And being a student of history himself, and he loves this kind of stuff, he did not try and profit off of it, sell it, or anything like that. He said, yeah, let's give it away. You know, let's put it online. And so we did, and let everybody download everything for free to take a look at it. But when you look at it in the grander picture, you realize since this is a part of the story that no one's seen before, it begs all of us to ask the question, how many other pieces of the puzzle went into the trash can? How many were shredded intentionally? How many were just lost? I'll give you a prime example. Away from Project Blue Book, because my main focus has always been post 1969, post Project Blue Book, interested in what the government and military has beyond their stated interest in UFOs. Now, two agencies I'll bring up right now is the Defense Intelligence Agency and the National Security Agency, both of which have hundreds of UFO documents, hundreds of pages. Many of them are classified up to top secret. You can see here on the right of your screen, top secret Umbra. Many of them remain highly redacted, heavily redacted, because they're highly classified. And I have gone after the declassification of those redactions. You've heard me talk on this channel about a mandatory declassification review. The quick explanation for what that is if a document is released in the year 2000 and a requester requests it in 2020, they get the same document that was reviewed in 2000 because an agency doesn't want to keep reviewing it unless a mandatory declassification review request goes in. And so that's what you can do with documents that were last reviewed at least 2 years prior, so 24 full months have to pass, and then you say, okay, DIA, I want you to review this document here on the left of your screen, or this document here, NSA, I want you to review that on the right of your screen. The point is that they have to then do that and review it. I'll start with the DIA and those about 100, 200 pages that are still heavily redacted. You know what the DIA said? They couldn't find any of them. Any of them. Why not? According to them, the originals that didn't have the blackout markings, in this case, they took a razor blade to them and cut out the material, photographed that or photocopied that. But they couldn't find any of the UFO material that they previously released to the Black Vault. From that agency, a lot of that had never been released before at the time I got them. Now, all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, sorry, John, we can't find anything. move on to the NSA. There are hundreds of messages just like this. These are called comment reports. And again, all the way up to top secret, heavily redacted. They talk about UFOs. They're all regarding UFOs. I filed a request to the NSA asking for an MDR of all of their UFO material. You know what they said? They lost them all. So DIA said they couldn't find them. NSA said, oh, sorry, we can't find any of them. Any of them. 100% gone. So according to them too, black out everything, shred the originals. The DIA razor blade them, shred the originals. Are we to believe that? Are we really supposed to believe that multiple intelligence community agencies like the DIA and the NSA just poof, gone with their material? It doesn't make sense. Now, going back to the point of this video with Socorro and how important that case is, this is why we need to take cases like that seriously. Because in that, again, comparison I used to a cure for cancer, it only takes one, just one, to show us that the UFO phenomena is real and potentially connected to extraterrestrial activity. It's just one. And even though skeptics love to point out, well, you guys have put forward 10,000 cases and nothing pans out. Well, that's fine, because you only need one. And the Socorro landing, which remains unidentified and unexplained to this day, is why we need to take this seriously. And when you couple that then with multiple intelligence agencies saying, we lost all of our files. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Greenwald, you know, go away now. Stop asking us. And then you add into the mix people like Rob Mercer, who found film footage reels, photographs, original prints, and original documents, most of which that would have ended up in the trash, makes you wonder how much we have lost when it comes to history. I invite you all to download the documents on Socorro below, because it'll make you think. It may not convince you, but it'll make you think that there's much more to this topic than the U.S. military and U.S. government wants you to believe. It's a tiny piece of the puzzle, but it's one of those important pieces that makes the bigger picture. I hope you enjoyed this. This is John Greenwald Jr. signing off. Make sure you click that subscribe button and the thumbs up, and we'll see you next time.